on WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Cheer Show.
Hey, Duke. Look good today, Duke. Thank you, bro.
I never realized that you. I guess I never think that you're Irish. I should know by your daily
Irish
behavior. You don't have your Notre Dame. Are you going to wear your Notre Dame tomorrow? Is casual Friday, right?
Tomorrow.
Casual Friday. So I expect you. You can wear your Notre Dame. I mean, I'm glad you look nice today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
But tomorrow you can wear your Notre Dame jersey.
Yeah, I am Irish. I will, if you stuck a needle in me, it may not be blood that comes out. I was told that my ancestors did consume a lot of alcohol.
So it's going to be Guinness that comes
out
of
it. Probably Guinness or whiskey or something. I don't know.
It might be spinach.
It could be spinach.
After that turkey.
Oh, man.
So I watched
you
eat yesterday.
Can you take this program over on the subway real quick?
Yeah, I'll take over. You go ahead and get your...
I appreciate that.
They asked Dan what he wants with his spinach.
That's
what would
right.
you like with your spinach? I'll have a...
Turkey.
Turkey.
Yeah, turkey with spinach.
A couple pieces of bread.
Exactly.
One tomato.
Yeah.
I promise, folks...
No tomatoes on a Subway sandwich.
Really?
No.
Sorry. I promise, folks, I was going to tell them about a radio producer I worked with once in Cleveland. Can I name the station? Duke, can I name...
I don't think I'd do that. I would just make
he
something...
He says don't. He says don't
Duke.
Name the station, so... Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll just say... Let's just say that this guy...
Duke says he'll get the IRA after you do
the
that.
The IRA, okay. Our producer used to come in and argue with us. We'd be putting these truths out. The same thing we're talking about now, justification.
Yeah.
And after the show, after when we took a commercial break, he'd come running out of the control room with his Bible open, and he goes, justified? No, we still have to be careful what we do with God. And I actually said, I won't say his real name. I'm going to call him John. His
John.
Real name was Leo, but I'll say John.
John.
I'm not going to say his real name. So I said, save it. Do it on the air. Let's do it on the air. You break into the show, and we'll start doing this on the air. And this was unheard of. He goes, I'll do it. So we started back up. Here comes the music, and here comes what I say his name was?
I don't know.
Leo.
Big Bird.
John. Oh, Leo's his real name.
Yeah,
I'm not going to. I can't say that. It's John. So he gets on the air, and he goes, I got a question for you. I said, our producer has an issue with this justification.
Poor
that
man.
We're totally free. That now, you know, under Christ, now that God sees us as a new creation, we can't make a misstep.
Yeah.
He says, why anyone would have a problem with that, I don't know. But then I do know because there are certain scriptures that say you're on thin ice with God.
Mm-hmm.
There are these scriptures. Until you learn to distinguish between the gospel of the circumcision and the uncircumcision, you wouldn't know that. So he brings up this verse.
All right, which one?
He takes us to 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. He starts reading, if we should be saying we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Well, I agreed with him there, but verse 9 started the fight. If we should be avowing our sins, he is faithful and just that he may be pardoning us our sins and should be cleansing us from all injustice.
Mm.
Now, wait a minute. John is writing this years after the crucifixion of Christ. So
mm-hmm.
Christ had already died.
Yep.
But since John is a Jew, he still, the truth was not presented. This righteousness of God that we have, folks don't realize that this was not presented to anyone until God called the Apostle Paul. So John here, even subsequent to the crucifixion, is still putting forth confessing. And if you avow, or I think King James says
mm-hmm.
confess,
yeah.
then he is delivering you of your trespasses.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Leo, John, I said, so the corollary here would be that if you don't confess, you're not forgiven. He goes, that's right. Now think about what you're saying. If you don't avow your sins before, if you don't confess something, you're unforgiven. And he started getting a little nervous because he's on the air. We're live radio.
Yeah.
I said, so, John, you're telling me that if you went home tonight, God forbid something happened to you, if you had an unconfessed sin, you did not confess it, that sin is going to follow you to the grave.
Yeah.
And he didn't know what to say.
Of course not.
He's spouting the verse, but he's not even, in actuality, he's not applying it to his own life. He's living as if he's justified in a way, but he thinks he's beholden to this verse that John's writing. So what do you tell people? I mean, I said that this belongs to a gospel, to Israel. And with Israel, it was vital that they confess their sins and then Christ God would forgive their sins. It was almost like a deal, isn't it?
You're asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you. It comes across like a deal, and I think it actually is a deal. You do this, I'll do that.
Well,
just like the law.
First of all, the Apostle Paul in Galatians 2 says this, but on the contrary, verse 7, perceiving that I have been entrusted with the evangel of the uncircumcision, according as Peter of the circumcision, for he who operates in Peter for the apostleship of the circumcision, operates in me also for the nation. So here's two men. God is operating things in both of them, and they're to two different groups of people. Paul, uncircumcision, that's Gentiles like us, and Peter to the circumcision, that's the Jews. And he says, and knowing the grace which is being given to me, James and Cephas and John, you hear that? John, the apostle, we're just quoting from him, who are supposed to be pillars, give to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we indeed are to be for the nations, yet they for the circumcision. So first answer to the question is, John's writing to the circumcision. Even though they were given the Great Commission, so-called, they were to the circumcision. We can't get into all the details here, but I want you to notice a few other things. In 1 John, first, John is writing to the circumcision. Two, he says here, verse 4, that this fellowship of ours is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ.
You're in John 1, 4. 1 John 1, 4.
Paul always mentions Christ Jesus, the exalted, the ascended, and glorified Christ. John is speaking of Jesus Christ in His humility.
They're not just interchanging those, are they?
No,
there's a purpose.
God doesn't
in that.
Do that. God writes things for a purpose here. Now, and there's no hint in John's letter that God is bringing blessing to the Gentiles apart from Israel. Now, here's the other thing to notice. It says, if we should be saying, in the verse that you quote, if we should be saying, and by the way, the we is referring to Jews. If we should be saying that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we should be avowing our sins, He is faithful and just that He may be what?
Pardoning
our sins.
Pardoning us. There's
and,
the us
now,
again.
That's not the only thing. And what's the next verse, next part? And should be cleansing us from all injustice. Cleansing. Pardoning and cleansing. And these are Jewish things. In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, they had a laver of water, and they had to be cleansed. The Lord Jesus in John 13 told Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. This has to do with their fellowship and their and in the future, their role in the kingdom. This whole washing and cleansing.
Right, that's right.
Now, this is not the same thing that Paul proclaims. In Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says, being then justified by faith. Doesn't say being cleansed. Doesn't say being pardoned. Being justified by faith, we may be having peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have the access also by faith into this grace. This is how the Greek reads here.
Mm-hmm.
This grace, that is the grace in which we stand. Peter talks about the grace in which the Jews stand in 1 Peter 5. This is the true grace wherein ye stand, but referring to the Jews. Paul talks about a grace that's to the Gentiles.
See, somebody took issue with it. I brought up this point in one of my newsletters. Oh, did I mention I write a newsletter?
Yes, you did.
That you can subscribe to it at martinzeder.com. Oh, okay. They say, well, look, the word grace is used in the circumcision writing. Peter uses it, James uses it, but we also find grace back in the days of Noah.
Well,
grace is a common word. I mean, it's a fantastic thing, but we're looking at not a different kind of thing, but the measure of things. There was still grace, of course, that John and Peter mentioned, but when Paul starts to mention grace, he uses a word that none of the other writers use, and that's transcendent. It's
transcendent
a degree
grace.
Of grace
exactly.
That no one had ever seen before.
Now, notice Peter says this, too, in 1 Peter 1. Concerning, he's talking about their salvation of your souls in 1 Peter 1. And by the way, the term salvation of soul is never a reference to heathen Gentile. It's never a reference to the gospel going out to unbelieving people. salvation of soul. Paul never mentions it.
He doesn't really.
Never mentions the term salvation of soul, except in Hebrews,
mm-hmm.
to the Hebrews. But he never mentions it in his letters to the nations. Now, this term salvation of souls has to do with preservation in view of the kingdom. But notice verse 10. He goes, concerning which salvation the prophets seek out and search out, who prophesy concerning the grace which is for you. Peter says there's a grace for us Jews. You Jews. Peter's writing to who? Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the chosen expatriates of the dispersion. And here's the key. What is the name on the envelope? When you see Peter, you know it's kingdom and Israel. When you see Paul, you know it's the nations and celestial allotment. And so these are some distinctions that have to be made. Peter is talking about, in 1 Peter, a salvation that was prophesied. And you can search it out in the Old Testament. Paul talks about the secret, which was unknown in the prophets.
Why do you think Peter brings up the soul? Why is the soul so important with Israel? I have my ideas on it, in that the kingdom was a tangible, literal kingdom, and the emphasis was on that you're going to be able to touch these things and see these things. And the earth is going to blossom again. Whereas Paul, we have invisible blessings among the celestials, and that doesn't always translate in our soulish feelings and our emotions.
Well, I think it has a reference to the fact when Peter and them talk about the saving of their souls, it has reference to the future kingdom. They're going to enjoy, their souls are going to be heightened in their experience when they enter into this kingdom. It's going to be such a great occasion.
It's a good time now to say that the soul has to do with the five senses that God gave you and able to perceive the world. And Israelites' blessings, the promised blessings, did have to do with soulish things. God was going to bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey.
Yep.
And the reason they knew they were blessed was if their crops prospered, their wives had babies like crazy. You know, if you were an obstetrician in Israel's day, a midwife,
you
know, you wanted Israel to do well because then they'd have a bunch of babies.
That's right.
And then you'd have a good business.
Yeah.
I always thought that when there's weeping and gnashing of teeth at the end times, a good business to be in, either a Kleenex salesman or a dentist.
There you go.
You do a rip-roaring business with the weeping and gnashing of teeth going on. But Israel looked for the physical manifestations. I think that's the answer of why the soul is brought
exactly.
up, saving the soul.
And it's interesting, we'll have to get into this next program, because we're still on Debbie from Anchorage, Alaska's question, the difference between the new
birth. Yeah, she's long gone, but we're still talking about her.
The new birth is concerning the soul, is right. I mean, it's concerning a physical, earthly things. Now, we're going to get into this, I think tomorrow we should probably get into this. There's a difference between the new birth that was mentioned in the Gospel of John, and even Peter mentions it, and a new creation. A new birth and a new creation are not the same thing.
And that's right. And I have to tell you how Ricardo responded to this. I got to tell you I don't have time.
We don't have.
I think it's getting close, but I'm not. Okay, there it goes.
Duke, you are a relentless taskmaster.
It's relentless. We're slaves of the system here. It's amazing.
Well, I'm Dan Sheridan. You can find me at paulsevangel.com, or you can call me at 847-312-4676.
You can look in on me at martinzender.com.
And by the way, go to the Paul's Evangel website, get a copy of the Concordant version and commentary.
Or else.
See you tomorrow, everyone.